or actually 14. John 14. And I had Andrew and Kaylee call me earlier, asked me some Bible questions, and he was teaching tonight. And it's a blessing that the young couple, they want some answers, and they want to be able to teach something what's right. And, you know, we was going through this thing about us being, having the Holy Ghost of God in us. And there's God's Spirit. And I noticed this. In the Old Testament, you never read Holy Ghost. You never read that. You read Holy Spirit or a spirit or God's Spirit. And see, the Jews never believed there was three in one. The Jews don't believe that. They would believe in Jehovah the Father. They believed in... That was my phone. Three plus one is four, it said. That's right. The Jews don't know it's three in one. That's what it is. The Jews didn't believe that there was a, when Jesus Christ shows up and said he's the Son of God, they didn't believe that. But then they have a scripture in the Psalms that says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou here on my right hand till I make thine enemies a footstool. They didn't know what that was talking about. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son. They didn't believe that. And that's where, so when we read our Bible, we know in our Bible they've got the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But they didn't believe, they only believed in one God. And the Bible says there's one God, and the Bible says that in Exodus chapter 20, it says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. So here comes John the Baptist saying the Messiah is coming and this and that, and he's the Son of God. They didn't believe that. The Jews didn't want to believe that. And they had a hard time with believing that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost would come inside of a person and God would dwell inside of him. And the Bible tells you about that when Saul was anointed back there in Exodus, First Samuel, let's go back, hold your place right there and go back to First Samuel. When Saul was anointed by Samuel, the people kept saying, give us a king, give us a king. And then look down at chapter 9. It says, when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of this same shall reign over my people. And Saul drew near to Samuel and so on. And Samuel ends up anointing Saul as king. And then Saul gets the Spirit of God on him. It's on him. See, the Spirit of God came on him. It wasn't a permanent indwelling. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he started prophesying and all kinds of. And look at verse 6 of chapter 10. Verse 6, chapter 10. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee. You never read in the Old Testament the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. So when you read over in the book of Acts, they asked them, say, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we never heard of such a thing. Never heard of the Holy Ghost. We never knew that. And it was something that God planned. So you're sitting here tonight. You're saved. You got the Holy Ghost of God indwelt inside you. It's hard for you to enjoy sin after you're saved. You grieve the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells you don't grieve him, don't quench him. It's like putting out a fire. So what we have revival, you kind of get fired up, and then what happens is you go back to the day-by-day stuff or go back to the, and you start getting in sin. You quench the Spirit of God. You'll grieve him. Go to chapter 10, look at verse 1. Now, I've always knew there's something in this. There's something in this 1 Samuel chapter 10. Because it says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, it is because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. So here the king that's going to be over Israel was over God's inheritance. And he said, but he took a vial. I've been studying that thing about a vial or that Samuel or takes a horn of oil and anoints David. It's a different something, because you read about the vials in Revelation and all that stuff, poured out the wrath of God. And Saul gets, you know, a vial, but it says, look down at chapter 10, verse 7. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 6, comes upon thee, and shall prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs, notice signs, whenever you see signs in your Bible, it's always talking to a Jew. Signs. That's why tongues are for a sign. And the Sabbath day was for a sign. The seven-day Adventists take that seven-day, you know, on Sabbath day, and they said, but you show them in Exodus, the Lord said, that's a sign between me and you, talking about Israel. And the tongues was a sign between for the Jews to know that what it was being preached was the truth. It wasn't nobody going, ashallah, shallah, shallah, shallah. They were speaking a language. They didn't have no education, and they're speaking a language that they can understand. That's a supernatural thing. So it wasn't like they do in the charismatic churches. That's crazy. It's stupid. They're full of the devil. That's what it is. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee and shall prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come on thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee and to burn to offer burnt offering sacrifices, sacrifice of peace offering. 7 days shall thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they were came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he prophesied among them. And so he's walking along, he's heading back, and all of a sudden these prophets come up, and he gets right in the middle of them, and he starts prophesying. I mean, he starts going, you know, preaching and talking about God, and I mean, one time the Bible says he stripped off his robe, and he's standing there, and he's going off, and he's preaching and prophesying. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered, said, but who is their father? Therefore, it came a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? Because he wasn't in the prophet, he wasn't in that tribe that where the prophets come from. And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to a high place, and Saul's uncle said unto him, that's Abner, and he said to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, he came to Samuel. So Saul gets prophesying, but then look what happens. Saul disobeys God, and God tells Samuel, I want you to go anoint another king, another guy, and he's going to be my king. He's going to be the one I want, not the one the people want. Saul was the people's choice. Now, take your Bible, look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. If you read through there, you'll find out why God rejected Saul, because Saul was disobedient to God. And look what happens. Here he was prophesying. He had the Spirit of God upon him. And the Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil. Different vessel. And go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And notice Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born at? Bethlehem. David's the type of Jesus Christ. And it says, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. When the prophet came to town, everybody started going, oh, God, oh, God. oh man, we're in trouble now. They thought judgment was getting ready to fall. They thought something bad. And when, look what Samuel says. And they that which the Lord spake, and then on down he says, in Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, cometh thou peacefully? Are you come here peacefully? We don't want you to bring judgment on us. It says, and he said, peacefully, I am come to sacrifice on the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come unto me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come, and behold, Eliab said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. That's what Samuel thinking. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. You need to underline that. You need to underline that in your Bible. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? Heart. And look, the reason I'm reading all this, I want to get down. He goes through the sons, and Jesse made Shammah to go pass by. I think it's, and he says, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. These are the three named brothers here are with the Israel when David goes up and fights Goliath. They're all three there. They're with Saul. They should have been the ones to take on Goliath. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Saul. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen thee. The Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. We didn't even think to bring him in, because in no way God would want him. He's just a young boy. No way God would want him. God doesn't see it as man sees it. God knows a man's heart. God knows whether you want him or not. He knows all that. He knows. And Samuel said, that's why the best thing you can pray for your children, God put a tender heart in them, give them a heart towards God. Pray for them. Put the fear of God in them, give them a tender heart. Samuel said unto Jesse, are there all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till we had come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, young boy, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And look at here. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from who? Saul. So it came upon him. Look what else it says. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. An evil spirit. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. They knew it. They could recognize it. This guy got a bad spirit. He got something wrong with him. Let our Lord now command thy servant, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, music. Music calms the savage beast. And a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon him, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. And then, and so on. So David comes in and plays music, but David has the Spirit of God upon him. So in Psalm 51, you'll find David saying, he's saying, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they could lose it. In the New Testament, you can't. Now, can you have a bad spirit? Yeah. You can have a bad spirit, but you can't lose the Holy Spirit. He's in there forever. Till the Lord takes you home, he's there. So look, go back to John chapter 14. John 14. So thank God for the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, it's a transaction takes place. God does it. When you ask the Lord to save you, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside you. And I never forget this. I never forget the joy I had. And I still have. But see, it's a day-by-day thing. You say, well, if I mess up, do I lose it? No, you don't lose this Holy Spirit. You got to confess and get the thing right. Because the Bible tells you, you get clean by confessing, repenting of your sin, and saying, Lord, I want to feel that presence of God again. I want the Lord to minister to me again. Now you can't lose it. The evil spirit came upon Saul after that, and God took his spirit away from him. Now you can get a bad spirit by what you listen to, by what you're around, or who you're with. If you hang around and watch something or listen to something you shouldn't be listening to, you can grieve the Holy Ghost of God inside you. And you can get a bad, drugs brings bad spirits. Drinking, they call it wine and spirits. You can get a spirit. People go out of their mind. And you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible tells you don't do it. Why? Because you're bringing judgment upon yourself. You'll bring judgment on yourself to where God has to do something about it. Because you belong to God. I belong to God. Look at here. Look at John chapter 14. Jesus makes a promise. He promises by the Father. He promises that he intercedes for you. And the Bible says, I will pray the Father. And you have all three of them right here together. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide in you for how long? For how long? Forever. So you got the Father, you got the Son, and got the Holy Ghost right there. All three, the Comforter. So the Jews didn't believe that God had a son. Islam, they don't believe God had a son. They don't believe that. So when you start saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they don't believe that. So they believe in, okay, the Bible says in Ephesians, there's one Lord, one faith. But see, there's one Lord, one God, but in three persons. God made you in his image. You got a body, you got a soul, you got a spirit. You're one, but you're all three. And only time in history when the three were ever divided. And when you die, your body's in the ground, your soul goes back to God, and your spirit goes back to God. So you're three in one. Now, we're going to have to stop here, but it says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's why Brother Mike was talking about, all the stuff that goes on, people taking the pills. I watched a documentary last night where they were saying all these shooters that's killing all these people, they the one thing the news media don't want to link it to is drugs. They're all drugs, smoking dope, taking pills, and they got mental problems. They have mental problems already. So they get a machine gun, they go in, and they're saying it's the guns. It says they got mental problems. You don't want somebody with a mental problem get a gun, and they're smoking dope and all that stuff on top of it. And then they legalize the smoking the dope. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. It's like they want to see the thing progress. They want it to progress. They want the society to go nuts. And they are going nuts. Now, you know what starts? Like Ruthie and I was talking this morning. They start in school. They say in the public schools, they said, hey, I have a hard time teaching the kids. She said they had a Christian school. She said there was kids, they were hard to teach. And then they had to put them on, the parents said, well, they go to the doctor. The doctor said, you got to get them Ritalin. You got to give them this stuff. You got to give them that. So the kids, the society of children being raised on drugs. And then they're playing video games. They're killing and killing and killing and killing and killing. And they want to. And then they get up and they start smoking dope because it's legal. And they start drinking. And then they start doing drugs. And before long, they say, that's going to kill somebody. And they go crazy. Yeah. So, you're making light. No, man. I grew up around that. I grew up with it. So I know what I'm talking about. I've watched that thing about the drugs. That's where they don't want to talk about. You don't want to hear all the Bernie Sanders and everybody. Let's have some. Everybody have smoke some dope and sit around and smoke. We used to smoke this stuff called killer weed, called KW. We smoked this stuff, man. We got so messed up. I sold a U.S. Air Force truck one night. And we was all messed up and got in that thing. I'm driving this U.S. Air Force. It was a SWAT team truck. And I'm driving the thing, and the guy with red hair was in the vehicle with me. And I got out. I couldn't see. I couldn't even walk. And I said, man, I'm getting out of this thing. I pulled over, and I said, I'm getting out. And they took off, and I'm walking down the street. And I don't know, idiot. I was an idiot. I got back in there. And he says, man, we're going to party all night. We was going down 450 in Maryland, and he's running as fast as he can go. We went by a 7-Eleven. His red hair is blowing out the truck, and we all got sunglasses on, man. We're at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're all messed up, you know, 16 years old. We're riding down the road, and we're heading for Baltimore-Washington Parkway, and the cops are chasing us. And I'll never forget, I turned around. I'm looking out the back door. I said, hey, man, I think the cops are chasing us. And I turned back around. I went, nobody was driving. And I looked back out the window. The dude jumped out the truck and hit the road, and the cops almost ran over him. That dude went in the military, took an M16, put it in his mouth, blew his head off. We got on Baltimore-Washington Parkway, almost flipped over there, and we came off Baltimore-Washington, right where I was born, the hospital I was born at. We came off the exit, hit a medium strip, and the cops had roadblocks in both ways, because we had a SWAT team truck. And they set up roadblocks, and we went off and turned left. The boy was driving named Robert Gonzalez. And we hit this medium, hit a telephone pole, went in the air, landed on top of the State Farm Insurance Building, and slid off top of that thing upside down. He was in the windshield. First thing, I pulled him out of the windshield. And I remember we laying there, and the cops are all around us, guns everywhere, sticking in the windows and telling us to freeze and all that stuff. And I'll never forget, he said to me, we was high as a kite, man. We're smoking K'd up. He said, hey, man, tell him I wasn't driving. I said, you tell him I was a hitchhiker, man. You help me. He turned state's evidence against me. We were all messed up. You know what he turned state's evidence against me? For a ham sandwich. Almost went to federal penitentiary for that. 16 years old. Anyway, we got to stop. We got to take a prayer request. I got some fun stories I could tell you about. Brother Ken, come on, brother. Oh, offering. That's right. I forgot about that. Oh, tonight's missionary offering. Miss Sheila asked me the other night, we had a good offering Sunday. She said, could we need to add some money to the missionary fund, get all the missionaries paid up? And I said, sure, that's fine. But we're slacking a little bit on the missionary fund and the missionary offering. So if you got it, that'd be a blessing. Put in for the missions. All right. All right. We try to make sure our missionary is taken care of. Brother Ken's going to take up offering. I mean, our prayer request. Yeah. Our bake sale Sunday, all right. Well, I'll be glad when she gets healed up. I've been her slave for the past few weeks. My Lord, I'll be glad. Ruthie's looking at me like, Dad, I've been doing all the cooking. I've been doing all that. No, I don't mind. I don't mind. Praise the Lord. I'm just, huh? No, I bet Mama cooks good. Mama cooks real good. Amen. Amen. I want my baby back, baby back. I want my baby back. I want my baby back. All right, Brother Joe, pray for us tonight. Amen. Amen. Yes, God, help. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Brother Ken, come on.
If we can, let's be brief tonight on these prayer requests.
Do a little more praying.
And then let's start here on the left side. Sister Becky.